throwing it back to the 80s, a little Duran Duran number, Notorious. And right now, joining me in studio, the Notorious Gavin Steinhobel, attorney-at-law. Hey, coffee in hand. It's a must be a Wednesday.
Yeah, with our new blue mic covers.
You can hear the difference.
The microphones sound better.
Absolutely. And looking back on what's transpired since last Wednesday, wow, quite a roundup of exciting happenings on the KZN North Coast. This is, you know, every Wednesday Gavin flies in from his law office for a look back at what's been happening in and around town, and generally getting a pulse reading on the local property market and just growth and development on the KZN North Coast as a whole, and looking at the last weekend, Gavin. I mean, we had the Club Med officially opening at Tinley Manor. I think like 700 guests arriving.
Wow, isn't that just such an impressive development? And
I mean,
it was brought on time, and the first guests have been through. And this was such a pipe dream thing when I first heard about it. And there it is. It's trading. People are flying from abroad to come here on holidays, and it's just wonderful for our area.
Absolutely, I had the project lead in here yesterday, Chris Dutoy, and chatting about just, you know, the first few days, what it's been like, and the glow of excitement and positivity, and a healthy mix of international and local visitors. It's going to get more international as we head into the sort of European winter season.
I wasn't aware of the fact that local people have also.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was purely a destination for foreigners.
Well, it seems like it's going to be sort of angled predominantly in that direction, but there is a healthy domestic interest, and especially with this special connection between the safari offering, the Vigela Safari Lodge. So now you can do beach and safari as a bundled package for the first time. Club Med's offering
the warm
safari.
Indian Ocean and the bush.
Telling you what
a winner combination.
And at the same day that it launches, we had the Bolito Pro kicking off with the juniors. The Bolito Pro presented by O'Neill, now in full swing, serving up absolutely Perla Surf in this first slice of the combo. We had the Durban July adding extra attention to this coastline on the weekend. We had the Springboks doing the business down at Ellis Park. It's like just great momentum.
Yeah.
And speaking of momentum, you were telling me off air that the momentum has continued unabated on the property market front, in spite of the fact that we recently had so some news that you would think would have put a damper on things. What's the story there?
Yeah, so in June, the Reserve Bank hiked its rates by 0.25%. So we went from that has an effect, obviously, directly on prime.
Mm.
So the prime interest rate charged by banks went from 10.25 to 10.5. And whenever you see interest rates going up, has a depressive effect on the market normally, because buyers, first of all, their installment that they'd have to pay on a loan to buy a property would go up slightly, and they might not be comfortable with that. And so they might say, okay, well, I'd rather just wait, or I'd rather hire a place, or I'll stay where I am, because actually now I thought it was going to cost me $8,000 a month, but it's costing me, you know, $9,000 a month, or whatever the case is. The calculus gets done by the average buyer. What can I afford? And interest rates, when they go up, the affordability goes down, and a lot of buyers think twice.
That's been the trend.
And there's a second thing as well that buyers do. They do is sort of a calculus saying, okay, interest rates have gone up, and they've gone up, and they've gone up, so they're going to keep going up, and I'm going to get caught out with an installment I can't afford, so I'd rather not commit to a 20-year bond. Those are the two things that affect buyers, and whenever we see rates go up, it's always with great trepidation, because you think, well, this is going to have a depressive effect on the marketplace.
Yeah.
And our market has remained robust and gone through it. It's primarily because it's a very small increase in interest, and there isn't a sentiment that it's going to be up and up and up and up for the rest of the year. It's probably going to be fairly stable and stay where it is now. And the reason I say that is because I actually think it wasn't really necessary in my own view, to hike the interest rates right now. But what the government does is they look at the inflation rate, and one thing that all governments are afraid of is that inflation starts creeping up, because that erodes money in people's pockets, and it is actually an invisible tax, because the rand that you had last year is worth less this year. And so the government keeps an eye on inflation, the CPI, the price index, and so forth, and they do their annual year-on-year inflation check. And if inflation starts to creep upward and it becomes a little bit of a concern, they use a sledgehammer, which is the interest rate, to push. They push rates up, and what that means is there'll be less borrowing, so there's less money coming into the market, okay, and there's less money chasing the same amount of goods. So it stabilizes prices, might even bring them down, but it's a way of checking inflation. I always think it's quite a big irony, because the primary cause of inflation is government printing or borrowing money, because they're the big culprits, and then they whip us with interest rates to keep the inflation rate down. But at the end of the day, the government had a target initially of 4.5%, 3.5 to 4.5%. It was the window they wanted to keep inflation in, and then it's fairly responsible fiscal policy, and that was the idea. And then recently they said, no, our new target is 3%, with a 1% either way. So obviously, if inflation goes down to 2%, you can relax interest rates completely. And if it goes up to 4%, then it's a concern, and you start saying, well, we want to be in this little band of 3 to 4%. In any event, so now technically we've gone down from a target of an upper end of 4.5% down to 4%. And in May, the inflation figures came out, and it was 4.5%. So this has obviously been a little reaction to that, saying, well, let's creep up the interest rates slightly, just to keep that run on inflation in check.
Correct.
So that has two things. One is, I don't think buyers were pretty much influenced by a 0.25% change in the interest they're paying on their bonds. And secondly, I don't think that buyers perceive this as a move towards ever-increasing interest rates. It was a minor adjustment. There hasn't been a trend coming into this of just lifting rates every other month. So I think most people are fairly confident that we're kind of going to stay here, and if it moves, it probably will start moving down. We just have to see what the June figures are, and that'll give you an idea of where we're going. So, yeah, it's been good news for the market that there hasn't been a mass knee-jerk response to the slight increase in interest. Trading's still good. Properties are being bought and sold, and the developments are doing well. They're selling out nicely. So, yeah, we're still in a very healthy economic space on the North Coast from a property point of view.
Well, that's really interesting. And if you were paying attention to that little bit of macroeconomic
academic discourse,
I think it's great to get a bit of an overview of how things work, the levers that get pulled. So thanks for summarizing that so concisely, Gavin.
Thank you.
Makes sense. And so there you go. In spite of what would normally be a bit of a depressing bit of news, it seems to have kind of been taken in stride and hasn't really knocked or slowed the roll of the local market.
Look, I mean, obviously we'd all like to see interest rates creep down into the single digits, and that has such an energizing effect on the market. People can do they do their calculus and they say, wow, okay, I can afford something bigger or better, or I can afford to buy a home and I don't have to pay rent every month. That's a stimulating thing. But again, the government's got its own set of priorities, and it's not necessarily our priorities.
For sure.
and one of the things they do need to do is obviously you need to keep inflation in check, because we've got several examples around the world that when inflation starts running, And it's a runaway inflation scenario, you can lose your entire economy. So, yeah.
To be avoided at all costs. And when we're looking at numbers, figures, trends in the data, something that has recently caught my attention, recent reports have the KZN North Coast pegged for 7 to 10% annual price appreciation through the rest of 2026. And KZN apparently led the country in residential building completions last year. I can believe that. But does that match what's crossing your desk in actual transfers?
Yeah? Definitely. Yeah, we transfer a lot of new builds, and sectional title schemes and so forth. And yeah, definitely there's a lot of stock coming onto the market, but it's met by the demand created by people moving here. You know, this is a beacon to people. And as we discussed recently, you know, there seems to be a whole host of people that are returning to the country from abroad, where things are not as rosy as they were 10 years ago. They're politically complex areas like Europe, you know, with its migration issues and so forth. And the ability of people to work remotely, to conduct business anywhere in the world from anywhere else in the world. So it's why would you not choose to come to a warm place with a good climate and a functioning civic society, and everything's working and the lights are on and it's not gloom and doom like it was a few years ago. So that's been very attractive to people. And then obviously people from within the province who see failing infrastructure in the smaller towns and so forth. And really, it's actually sometimes quite distressing when you drive through small towns that you were familiar with as being pretty little places, and seeing that they've really, really gone backwards. And people like that, they don't want to go to Cape Town. They're Natal people, and they like to stay in Natal. So this is a good destination for them. So there's a constant influx of people. And obviously, you've got the Joburg crowd as well, who want to leave there because, it's no secret that Joburg's in great trouble. And they make the choice, us or Cape Town, or emigrating. But I'm not sure that emigration has quite got the attraction that it had like a decade ago. I think people realize they're South Africans. They'd like to stay in South Africa, but they'd like to have a decent lifestyle as well. And what better place?
Well, this is the story. And with all of the recent excitement of the last week, the Club Med, the Pro, and the semigration data, where do you think the market's heading over the next 12 months? I mean, are we going to continue onward and upward?
I think so. My personal view was that about 18 months ago, we sort of bottomed out. Everything just seemed rather, there was no real action and things seemed rather staid and stodgy. And it's, you can just slowly see that, people are coming out and they're more confident to spend, they're more confident to invest. And so I get the sense that we're creeping up again, and, barring any great big shocks, we should continue on this trend because we're well below where we should be. So, it's like a cork being held underwater. It's got to get to the surface, and we're well below the surface. You know, we've been growing at less than 1%. So there's a lot of scope. There's a lot of opportunity in this country. We just need the correct signals from the state. And also the global thing is also, I think, on the cusp of really settling down. I think these wars, they can't carry on indefinitely, they take up resources and lives, and you run out of those. And so I think these things all have to sort of come to an end during this year, and we'll see if that happens. Then we generally should enter into a new spring and some growth all over the world. So I'm hoping for that. It seems like that's where we're going.
I like that optimism, and I see that some major international investment bodies have been eyeing opportunity in South Africa. And in fact, the big business news this morning, Abu Dhabi National Oil's retail unit has officially confirmed that they have agreed to buy Shell's fuel stations in South Africa, all of them, at a $1 billion enterprise value, giving that state company access to Africa's biggest economy for the first time under the banner of ADNOC Distribution. They'll gain control of 580 retail stations, marking an end to Shell's 124-year history in South Africa, but the beginning of something new and exciting.
Yeah, for sure. It is exciting that it just appears like the whole Middle Eastern situation is becoming far more regular. The recognition of Israel as a state by its Arab neighbors, the trade that will happen as a result. When goods cross borders it's a good thing. When goods don't cross borders, soldiers do. And so, you know, the minute that you've got countries trading with each other, the idea of war is not attractive at all, because you're going from a mutually beneficial situation to a mutually destructive situation. So I think with the Middle East, it definitely feels like a welcoming place, and it feels like it's become more westernized and a partner of the West rather than an opponent of the West. So these are all good developments, and they're good for peace, and they're good for prosperity.
There we go. Gavin Steinebull, he might become a special envoy for the United Nations in the next few years with talk like that. And by the way, I've seen your little lamppost posters down on Sabiti Drive. You're looking very good.
Oh, thank you.
And if you're looking for a man who sounds like he knows what he's talking about, because he does, on the legal front, whether it's an attorney, notary, conveyancer, Gavin Steinebull at Cropper's Inc. He is at your service down in the Belito Village. How can folks get in touch with you, Gavin?
Yeah, you can just Google Cropper's Incorporated, and you'll find we're a couple of firms in one. In one group, we're in Durban, in Belito, Richards Bay, and Pangani, and Cape Town. So you'll be able to find the Belito office number there. Alternatively, just take a drive down to Sandra Road, and you'll see us at the Belito Centre on the ground floor.
There you go. And, of course, on a Wednesday, for an informed opinion on what's happening locally and abroad, Gavin flies in with coffee and is always welcome here on Radio Life and Style. Looking forward to catching up again same time next week, Gavin.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
You heard it. Radio Life and Style.